I have a couple things to read first. Since I haven't done this for a while, I read you the fifth psalm. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You guys do that this morning? For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shalt evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leastingly. The Lord will abhor the bloody and the deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of my enemies. Make thy ways straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is varied wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. For they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Amen. I have a few more verses to read out of Proverbs, but first we'll pray. Lord, again we ask of thee a blessing this morning from your word. Grant us grace to speak and grace to hear. Amen. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 12, 13, and 14 says, "And I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instruct me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." Excuse me, I missed verse 12. "And I say how I have hated instruction, and my heart despises reproof, and I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instruct me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly." What do we have here? Somebody sitting in church and not listening. That's what we have. But what I'm going to speak about is saying no to God. And there's two ways to look come from. One is from the unconverted and from the converted. And we can see in the scriptures, starting in Genesis, through the scriptures, that many of the men of God and people, a lot of them just didn't listen to God, did they? Obviously, Eve didn't listen to start with. Abraham had some issues. Isaac, all of them had issues, some more than others. You know, Peter went listen to God when he told them, "This day you shall deny me three times." He was very emphatic that he'd be the only one there, maybe standing. But we know from Scripture that we all are sinners. Romans 3:23, "For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:10, "There's none righteous, no, not one." Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We're all like sheep and gone astray. This tells us of our need of God, and I don't think it's limited just to a select few. It's for the whole world, is it not? We do have our hope in Christ. Right, we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. I am the door. By me, any man through any shall be saved. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Now, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are the unsaved, the consequences of saying no to salvation? We have a few examples in Scripture. The first one that came to my mind is the thief on the cross. Actually, the two thieves and Christ on the crosses. Can you envision that sight? And it is interesting in this situation how Christ is in the middle and surrounded by sinners. And can you see the sinfulness of our hearts there? And that is talking about the two thieves. What did they start to do first? Did they both rail on him? Did they not? Then what happens next? If my memory serves me right, the one thief that repented was on which side? I envision the right side. Because what the other scriptures say, I read a while back out of Matthew 25, the goats went on the left side and the sheep went on the right side. Christ had offered salvation for the previous 3 years of his life. So I believe these two men were not ignorant of who he was. But he chose salvation that day. He chose to say yes to God. Did he not? Obviously, the sinner that repented on the cross couldn't do anything for his salvation, could he? I mean, he was there to die. But he did do a work, didn't he? His faith in Christ showed forth to the other thief. Telling him we deserve to be here. He does not. And we have many examples like that probably even through history and in scriptures too. And if you listen to Keith enough times, he has probably shared a few. Of some that had the offer of salvation before them and put it off and said no. And they died on their way home that night. So salvation should to us be a very precious thing. And when we come here, we should. Not just when we have communion. Remember that work of Christ did for us. And many of us would have to say sometimes we have said no to God. Will anybody admit to that? I want to look at a couple of them who have and change their mind. Obviously, we have the one example of the parable that Christ gives, or maybe it's just a saying that the two sons asked by the father to do, and one says no, repents and goes and does, the other says yes and doesn't. And some examples in the Old Testament. Let's look at Moses. God had him 40 years in the wilderness. And him coming out of the wilderness, what happens? He tells him, I want you to be my spokesperson to Pharaoh. And what does he do? He makes excuses, if you want to say that. He said, I can't speak. And God talks to him and talks to him, and he says, I can't speak. Did you ever wonder about that? Like God just say, I'll go get somebody else? Well, he kind of did, right? He went and got and brought Aaron on the way. Moses said no, but it's something that God wanted him to do. So I want you to think about, maybe this will be a little side note. So he had Aaron be his spokesperson, correct? In the wandering of 40 years in the wilderness, who did Moses have trouble with? His two siblings, Moses and Miriam. Moses said, I don't know exactly who I say no. When I say no to God is not doing what God would like you to do. And Moses said no again, indirectly, did he not, in the wilderness? When he struck the rock the second time? Don't tell me if I got that wrong. It's the second time, right? What happened? God let the water come out. Did he not? He gave people life, the water that they needed. But God, what did Moses, God tell Moses why he couldn't go in the promised land? Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. Did he not say, you did not sanctify me before the people? You did not set the people, set me apart before the people? Just a... Well, let's move on. Let's say to us into the modern age, or at least in the New Testament. Talk about discipleship. I believe in the term. And discipleship, I believe, is used for us all to grow in grace, right? And knowledge. To be conformed more to the image of Christ. Samuel told Saul it was better to obey and do sacrifice. I've been doing some reading a bit about Martin Luther late. And if you know anything about Catholicism at that time, there's a big thing about sacrifice, self-denial, so to speak. And I can't remember quite the term you used to abase oneself. And Martin Luther made that trip to Rome. And I remember right doing a step someplace, which were quite a few steps, on his knees. That's why you talk about sacrifice. Luther in Rome at that time saw wickedness that he had never seen before coming out of the church. And those are one of the things that struck him, that caused him to truly become a disciple of Christ. Luke 14, I think it's in 27, says, and whosoever shall, let me read it. says, and whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I believe here we establish the idea that if you're not a disciple, you're not what? Basically a Christian, right? And the disciple means to obey. Verse 33 of the same chapter. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Here we got that phrase in that, cannot be my disciple. When we say no to discipleship, it's basically saying you're not believing God or trusting Him. Is there in us today, in this church and as individuals, that we have said no to God on? I believe so. What does God require of us? To be perfect? No. But to be faithful? Yes. That's in what? Being giving. Using your time. Giving of your time. Your money. Of praying that we talk about a lot. We teach about a lot. Of visiting. In James. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Go back to the example of Moses. Moses probably knew, because God told him to speak to the rock. God made an example quite vividly through Moses, by Moses in that. The issue comes up, though, when we don't and deliberately know to do things and we don't. It happens to all of us. Right? But if we try to make excuses why we don't do things, that becomes trouble. If we say something like, well, God knows my heart, He understands why I didn't do this. You know, you're right. As Christ tells us, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'm not talking about laws and things like that. I'm talking about loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. We have to remember another thing that the Lord said about people that follow. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth not, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. I think this is a really good illustration. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. What's the rock here? And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. This man had trials and tribulations too. Issues that come up. I mean, it says that the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Do you know what water does? I learned this summer in my driveway. I had just last fall, put a bunch of gravel on the driveway, all the way down the driveway. So it was pretty smooth. Fall comes, or spring comes, and the water comes up. And I have water across the driveway all summer. You know, in two places on my driveway where we had all that gravel, you know how much of it is left? None. Actually, more is gone. Equate that water, or as the scriptures say, the seas, as the world beating upon you. And the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You see, the house there does not just mean that guy. It means his family and where they end up. Simply because did not heed the warnings that he had heard. You remember those words I read out of Proverbs? And I say how they hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and I had not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of congregation and assembly. Do you know what happens when we sin? But first I'll give you a verse to not to put people in despair, so to speak. First John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We know the book of 1 John. It's been spoken a lot about. It's the book to use to see where you stand before God. It's a number of tests. Not talking about being perfect, but a matter of being your lifestyle, your manner of life. What do we lose when we sin? One, the loss of light, the loss of fellowship, and the loss of joy. 1 John 1-7. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. This is Apostle John talking. But life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and showed unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifest unto us. He's talking about the apostles. He's talking about the validity and the actualness of him being and knowing of this. That which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things I write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. I like how John puts the union of the believer together, not just with the apostles, but with Christ himself. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And I read those verse earlier on in Acts chapter 2, I think verse 42, 43. One of the things that disciples had was fellowship, which I think is a necessary thing for us to have. What else do we lose? Loss of righteousness, 1 John 3. Starting at verse 4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And we know that he is manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. You just understand what he just said? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested. How was the Son of God manifested? In his life and his death and his resurrection. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is a message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Some people say, he cannot sin because he is born of God. But you, beginning of 1 John, you see that it says, We are faithful and just to confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Is that only talking about salvation? Obviously not. But it talks about how you walk and how you talk. How is your walk and how is your talk? Loss of confidence. 1 John 3, starting at verse 19. And hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. That means if your conscience bothers you and you got an issue, he can tell you for sure that God knows too. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. It said of Spurgeon himself, and I know some people will disagree, when sometimes he would be doing things or something, and he would have this thought, a stray thought go through his mind, and he didn't know what to do with it. And I personally take it the way he did. And you have to be careful. Well, I take it from the devil, because, I mean, sometimes thoughts come out of nowhere. You don't know where they come from. And I equate it kind of like with how many, when you sleep sometimes, or sleeping, do things in your dream that you wouldn't normally do. Actually, I think those wandering thoughts that come by are the unconscious, or your unconsciousness or whatever, that rises when you sleep. I believe it's the same beast, so to speak. That's how I deal with that. But it says, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. That is a very great thing to rejoice in. Knowing not that you're perfect, but that you have desire to serve. And you've asked God, as we read often, to search us and try our hearts. And God will be faithful in that. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And I finish the chapter, and this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son of Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And we're told we are to be conformed to the image, and we should have a desire to be so. John 8:29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And you know what? So can we. And this is a little bit of the last one, a scary thought. And sometimes we read it in communion. First Corinthians 11. And again, remember, this is what we lose when we sin. And we do have examples in scriptures. For this this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I don't debate the issue whether Ananias and Sapphira were saved or not. But God sometimes does take people for things. Moses would be an example. He took him before he was ready to die. Did he not? But again, when finished with the verse I read twice so far in 1 John, it's something that we do need to be doing, and to recognize that we do sin, but we do have an advocate with God, with Christ to God. And we have a lot of things that we have to deal with that comes us, sins that easily beset us. You see, I say that plural, not singular. We can have victory over those things. But those victories just don't fall out of the sky. And it does come at a cost, as we all believe is true. It can be a matter of friendship losing, family losing. So it is a serious issue when God addresses you on issues, saying no or saying yes. Some might not be quite so obvious, but some will be. For there will come a day when you won't be able to put off it anymore and you'll be dead. You may not lose your salvation, but you will lose a lot of stuff. And I'll end up with the phrase of the song. We won't sing it. And it was the first song I can remember as a little kid I learned to sing. I really loved singing it. And my kids know that too. And I can almost, I'm not positive it was this song, but when I was about less than 6, maybe 5 or 4 even, I can remember sitting next to my grandma and her singing this song. That was trust and obey, for there's no other way. And finishes is with to be happy in Jesus. Jason, can I get you to close in prayer, please?